It's so good to have you all in the house of the Lord today. Welcome, friends and guests, everyone who's listening online. We have some handouts for you this morning, and our ushers are ready to serve you. This Sunday, Elder Jim and I are sharing the word of the Lord that we sensed for 2022. And so we wanted you to have these teachings in your hands so that you can pray over them. How many of you here are a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Been born again by the power of God. You're our brothers and our sisters, and we're always excited and thankful for the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. And I'm going to ask Elder Jim if he'll make his way up here. Let's give Elder Jim Pikunka a warm river welcome.
Well, good morning. I wanted to first give you a little bit of background on what I was hearing the Lord say, so that you understand how we should be prepared for this time and this season. God always wants his people prepared for serving the world around us. So I felt that the Lord was preparing us for a very different season than what we've seen in the past. We know that the world around us is seeing dramatic changes, so the saints need to be prepared to meet these challenges. We know that as things shift in the earth, God has already shifted in the heavens and will pour out an anointing to meet the changes in the earth. God is never taken by surprise. God is always preparing his saints to do his will in the earth for this generation. The world will be sifting and shaking, but the saints of God will be standing on solid rock. And there are several verses and concepts God wants to prepare us with, and these will focus around faith, serving, love, and prayer. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, so you're prepared for this time and this season. I want to start with Galatians 5 and 13 and 14. He says, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So serving is a New Testament commandment. It is not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's a commandment to serve one another in love and then serve your neighbor as yourself. And so the more you love, the more you will want to serve. So increase your love of God and increase your serving towards one another. And so in Luke 17, 5 through 10, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now these are the apostles, right? And you got Peter the fisherman. He's come from a fishing background, maybe not theological. And, you know, the different ones are wondering, have you ever as a new believer thought, well, I just don't have much faith. Lord, show me how to increase my faith. This is a very natural question if you're a vibrant Christian to say, Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And in verse 6, he really doesn't answer that question. It's really quite interesting how he approaches this when they say increase our faith. He replies to them. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So that's really a statement. If we're going to paraphrase that, if Jesus were here now talking to you, he'd say, you only need a little bit of faith to do a lot. Can you repeat after me? I only need a little faith to do a lot. So that's the general statement he makes about faith so that people don't think, well, man, I need to be a mature believer. I need to be in the kingdom for 30 years. I need to have great faith to do great things. No, he says, all you need is a little faith. And God tells us when we become a believer, he gives us just a measure of faith, a little bit to get started with, right? So we all have the capacity at salvation to do a lot. Okay, so that's his general statement of faith, and then he goes into verse 7 through 10 and tells them how to increase their faith. He says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, oh, come along now and sit down to eat? Or would he rather not say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. And after that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. We've just done what we've been told to do. And then when we've done that, our response to the Lord should be, well, what's next, Lord? Amen. I'm here. I'm ready to serve. Amen. So he said, be prepared to serve. And then serve some more. And why are you serving? Are you serving so that you can get all this praise from the master and dine with him and sit and rejoice? Or are you just ready there to serve him, to bring him glory? He wants us to serve him out of love and serving the world around us so that we can show the world a different kingdom. So your response should always be, I'm ready for more, Lord. So Jesus taught that serving is an activation of our faith. And if we are growing in faith, we are also growing in serving. So love, faith, and serving are all connected. They're not separate, they're all connected. And the Christian life is a life of serving. So the word Christian means anointed one. And so the Lord said, well, why do you want to be anointed? The correct answer is, because I want to serve you. I want to bring you glory. I want to serve you. I want to serve the world around me to bring you glory. But see, some people want to just, well, they want to be the anointed one. It's all about self-serving me, not about serving the Lord. So it's a good check to ask ourselves, why do we want to be anointed? Don't call yourself a Christian, an anointed one, unless you are prepared and desire to serve out of love. Amen? In Ephesians 6:7, he says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Why should our attitude be serving the Lord, not men? Well, because sometimes men are messy. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's unrewarding. But we still serve those who may not always respond correctly. But we serve them because we know that's what the Lord wants us to do. And we serve as if we are serving the Lord, not men. So in Mark 10:45, he declares, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that was the mission of Christ, was to serve. And if we are Christians, anointed ones, then our mission statement should be, we're here to serve. And with the needs that are coming to our generation, God's going to need a people with a heart to serve out of love. And so, what is your gift that God wants to use? At the River here, we offer different classes to help you grow in your gifting, to know your gifting, to be able to hear the word of the Lord, to be able to understand what he wants you to do. And so we see in Scripture the diversity of gifts. Paul's gift was teaching, so he teaches and reasons with the Word of God. That's what he was prepared for all his life. Peter's gift was fishing. He knew how to cast nets for fish. So God made him a fisher of men, and so on the day of Pentecost, he casts his net and brings in 3,000 men for the Lord. Luke was an analytical and observant doctor, so God uses him to write and record the book of Acts, everything that was taking place after Christ came. And Mary, Martha, and the other women that served Christ served so that his ministry could be efficient. This is why we have teams ministries, because different teams are needed to make the whole body function. So our mission statement is not to hide in church someplace where we're not going to be used so we can go home and eat chips on the couch. No, God wants us participating in the work that he wants to do in this generation. What a great honor for God to want us to share in that work, to share in that love, to be able to serve others and give God glory. What a great honor that is. In Matthew 25, 37 to 40, he says, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did you see us? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' So the harvest is ready for the servants of the Lord." What's he say? The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. God needs you. God wants to pour out his anointing on you to serve. And there are servants in every generation. And we see this because it is the nature of God. And the nature of God is in his creation. So in every generation, there are those that want to serve, whether it's military, police, medical, whatever. And some societies have whole generations of servers. The Japanese had the samurai. The samurai class, samurai means serving. Not just protecting, it wasn't just their military, but when the government of Japan wasn't doing what they should for the people, the samurai would often give their gold and provision to the people to help them in their needs. Serving is a natural part of man because it is part of the natural part of our God. But God wants us to do that for his glory. And governments often want to kill servants because governments want to be God. They want to be the servant of the people. Okay, but the true servants are the servants of the Lord. So we see that the Japanese did kill the samurai class. Hitler, when he took over, killed the Christian generals because they knew they wouldn't serve him the way he wanted to be served. So different governments don't like serving people, but the government of God values servants. That's the class we are in the government of God. We are the serving class. And so in Isaiah 59:19, this is a verse that's been on my heart for quite some time now, and I believe it's a verse we need to pray through in 2022. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Now, if your eyes are open, you can probably see the enemy coming in like a flood. There is a rise of wickedness. Jesus said in the end times, the heart of man would grow worse and worse. So there are times in different generations when the enemy does come in like a flood. And it is the desire of the Lord to lift up a standard against them. And let's balance this also with 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I believe this is one of the verses that we are to pray without ceasing in 2022. Because I don't believe, although Isaiah 59:19 could be a passive verse, God could sovereignly raise up a generation of righteous people to be a standard against the wicked. But I believe he wants our participation in prayer to fill the prayer bowls of heaven. So God does not violate our individual will. He doesn't violate the will of a nation. But God wants to hear our hearts as a nation Do we want the wicked judged, and do we want a righteous standard to rise up? If so, then pray without ceasing. Let God know how you feel. Let his heart pour through you and pray what he wants to pray over Isaiah 59:19. So this is a time when we may see great wickedness, but prayer will rise up that righteous generation. Pray that God will bind this wickedness, expose this wickedness, judge this wickedness. There's a lot you can pray in the first part of that verse, and then pray over the righteous standard. Pray that God would prepare the righteous standard to rise up, people that would know his will, that would be prepared to be inspired, that God would give them boldness, anointing. It's often in the third watch of the night that God awakes me to pray 59:19, because it's on the heart of God's people to see God's will be done, not the will of the wicked, right? The wicked will be destroyed. So this is a time of great rejoicing, because on either side of pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians, he says, rejoice always and then give thanks. All right, we don't need to carry the burden of seeing the wickedness around us. Because if you carry that burden, you'll probably get distracted and lose your focus of what you're supposed to do, which is to pray the will of God, put it in his hands, and allow him to work in the hearts of people to raise up that standard, that righteous generation. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14-15, we know this verse well. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God's waiting for us to pray. And in the midst of all this, maintain your joy, give thanks, and remember that we are the restraining force in the earth. The church is here as a standard, as a restraining force against the wicked to do the will of God. So we will serve, we will witness, we will love, we will rejoice, we will give thanks, and then we're going to rejoice again. There's no need to fear, because God is with us. But the time is short, and God will pour out great faith to those that will step out to serve. If he finds you faithful, what? In little things, he will give you much more, right? And I only need a little faith to do a lot. God will protect and reward his faithful servants. Read and know God's word to know his will for this generation. Seek his face. Every generation faces a challenge. In my parents' time, it was World War II. In different generations, it's been famine, poverty, wickedness. But will you serve your generation? And again, the government of God values its servants. God doesn't kill his servants, but he does ask that the servants die to themselves to do his will. So in conclusion, those that are not distracted by the circumstances around us, but step out in faith, will be rewarded with great joy serving the Lord and winning others to Christ. Faith, serving, love, and prayer will sustain God's people during these times. This is the word of the Lord that I heard.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for the word of the Lord this morning.
I will build my life
worthy of every song I could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus, the name.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. You can stand to your feet if you want to worship the King. Jesus, the name. Jesus, the name above every other name. Only one who could save me. Jesus, the only one who could ever save me. You are. You're worthy of every breath we could ever. We live for you. We live for you. Come on, one more time. Worthy you are. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring to you, Lord. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you. We'll live for you. Come on, church, what's his name? Sing it out now. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you. We'll live for you, Lord. One more time. Holy. Holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. You've opened up my eyes to your wonder and shown me who you are and filled me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be, I will build my life. I will build my life upon your love. It is the only lasting foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I know I will not be shaken.
Thank you. Give the Lord a praise. And if you have your paper, let's follow along here. This is a year of growth and multiplication. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I sense 2022 is a year of growth and multiplication. When something grows or multiplies, there is an expansion, and often it looks different. Expect God to do a new thing in your life that will bring expansion to you. Ask God to adjust your eyes so that you can see what He is doing. I heard the Lord say to speak words of life over what He shows you, even when you don't completely understand it. A familiar passage for most of us is Isaiah 43:19 that says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So you might want to add that to the word Isaiah 43:19. He says, "Perceive it. Perceive. Do you not understand? Do you not have the knowledge of it? Perceive what's going on." And so we have, did you know we have eyes in our heart? And we have natural eyes. So another passage you might want to write down, 2 Corinthians 4:18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." God is going to open our eyes, and we will see it spring forth with our spiritual eyes, the things that He is doing in our life as He's bringing expansion to us. Yeah. All right, He said, "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert." So God's making it. You don't have to make it. That's a whole lot of work when you're trying to do that yourself, and it never succeeds. God is making it. And when I looked that up this morning in the Strong's, that word "making" means a point, to bring, to call, to care, to cast in, to change, to charge, to commit, to consider, to convey, to determine, to get, to give, to heap up, to hold, to impute, to lay down, to leave, to look, to make, to mark, to ordain, to order, to place, to preserve, to purpose, to rehearse, to reward, to set up, to show steadfastly, to turn to holy work. God's making all of that for you. Tell your neighbor, "He's doing it for me." So He's putting some things in place in 2022. He's setting some things in order in our life, some things He has never done before, some things that He started and you laid down and were ignoring. So He's breathing life once again to dead places, to dreams, to vision. He is bringing forth what you are expecting. We've got to have our expectations out there for what God wants to do in this season. Next, I heard the Lord say, "He will use those who are willing." Who's willing in this house this morning? Hallelujah. He went on and said, "Others may judge them as not ready to do God's work, but He will use them anyway because they are willing and pliable in His hands. They will join the mature and work together as a mighty army to bring in the harvest. Together they will disciple, heal, and restore souls by the power and presence of Jesus. The young and the old are coming together as the generations lock arms and work together to accomplish God's plans in this season." A scriptural reference to refer to regarding that passage is Acts 2:17-18. And I'm just going to read it quickly. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." So in this chapter of Acts chapter 2, this is what was happening at Pentecost, God was pouring out his Holy Spirit, and it was opening up a whole new chapter of history. And we live in this chapter. And we see the young and the old working together, that he is drawing in every race, every culture. It doesn't matter where you came from or how wealthy you are or how much you don't have. God is pouring out his flesh, his spirit on all flesh. Say all flesh. So the young and the old are coming together to lock arms. Give the Lord a praise for that. Generations coming together. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 65:11 in the Word says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. The Holy Spirit is sending out a call to those who are weary from sin and running from God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to their hearts to come and see what God has done. There is a great harvest of soul. There is a great awakening, and God is raising up a great army of saints. There are great testimonies about what God has done that need to be told. Hallelujah. Are you sharing your testimony? The Lord says your labor and prayers have not been in vain. Somebody say hallelujah. Those you have prayed for are watching the church and looking to see if we have answers to the complex problems they are facing. And I heard the Lord say he has assigned weary souls to different locations. And when they show up there, will be a strong witness in your spirit. Accept and receive them in the name of the Lord. When you pray for them, wait upon the Lord for his wisdom, because his wisdom will bring peace into their situation. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Lord, for weary souls. Amen. Gives us an opportunity. We've got to recognize who God has assigned us to and who God has called us to. And we are so thankful for weary souls that come into the river of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for nourishing, restoring, and healing your people. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. The Lord is saying we will rise to new levels of trust as we listen for his counsel. He is dealing with our heart issues so that we will trust him more. And he will remove all the obstacles that are in our way. And he will make it easier for us. Amen. When we trust in the Lord and acknowledge him, he goes before us and he prepares the way. God goes before us. He went before the children of Israel in the wilderness and prepared the way for them. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Over and over, if you'll look it up in the Strong's Concordance, there are so many scriptures about how God is preparing the way for us. He goes before us and he fights our battles. Thank you, Lord. And we can trust in that because the Lord says, what looks impossible to you is possible for me. Thank you, Lord. That is something we can hold on to in 2022. In 2022, we'll continue to walk in higher levels of faith and trust. There will be greater difficulties in the days ahead. But remember, Jesus prophesied that we would do greater works. Therefore, we will increase in the miracle working power from our Heavenly Father. There are greater works that Jesus will do through his church. In John 14:12, he said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. God has great works for us to do this year. And lastly, as we grow in peace, as we move to new levels of trust, Isaiah 26:3-4 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. You see, God keeps us in peace when we are trusting in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And so we have to choose to trust in the Lord. Can you say, I choose to trust in the Lord? And when you get in a difficult situation, it's great to say to yourself, I choose to trust in the Lord. And sometimes you even need to say it out loud when you're facing your circumstances. I choose to trust in the Lord. You know, I often think of the story in 2 Chronicles when 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat was faced with the armies coming against him. There were three armies, and he knew that he was no match for them. The people were no match for them. But let me just read a little bit about that, and you can read that chapter later in 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 12, he said, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Amen. And as we look around at the great multitude of evil that is coming, we see that flood of evil that is in the world. And we see it constantly. There's waves of it. We see the waves of it. But the Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to keep our eyes on him. Hallelujah. He said, but I keep my eyes on you. And I'm just going to read a little bit further. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then God went on and told them where they would find the enemy. And they went out. And this is what it says in 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord. So we have nothing to fear when God is fighting our battles. God wants us to walk in faith. He wants us to trust him. And so we know difficult days are ahead if God is increasing our trust and faith, right? Because our trust and faith is increased when we're in difficult situations. If everything's going fine, we're not even thinking about that. We're not praying without ceasing. But when difficulties come, and they can come in many ways, in many packages, we know that we can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to be afraid or dismayed of what we see. Look for what God is showing you in the spirit realm. God will open the eyes of your heart and your spiritual understanding to know what is going on. And then I heard the Lord say, we are receiving his heavenly perspective, and things are going to look different from a higher level. Yeah. Say, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. So you can read over this word, ask the Lord to speak to you, and I'm sure he'll add on to it what God is sharing with you in this season. We're going to get ready to receive communion. So if you need one of these cups, will you please raise your hand? And these are our communion cups. And there are ushers ready to serve you. And the first layer peels off at the top, and there's your communion wafer. And then the next level opens up the container for you to receive of the juice. And so this represents the new covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And so if you need some help, ask someone next to you, and Pastor Leonard's going to lead us through communion, and then we'll have a song.
Okay. right, Angela, I want you to turn to that John 6:53. Let's all read this together as you get ready with your communion. Let's read it. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of the Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." How many in here want life? All right. Angela, let's read the next one. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." How many want to be raised up? Amen. All right, let's do the next one. We're going to keep going about five more. Keep going, Angela. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." We all want Jesus in us, don't we? So we're going to do that. All right, the next one, Angela. We've got three or four more. Keep going. "Oh, has sent me, and I live because of my Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me." We want to live, don't we? All right, the next one. "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, which are dead. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." Remember in the Old Testament, God fed them manna for, you know, so many years, but guess what? They died at the age of 120. Guess what? We're going to live forever, aren't we? All right, the next one. "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught of Capernaum." Oh, I'm sorry, that's the last one. I apologize. Thank you. Well, I dropped my paper. It's really good because I don't know if you know it, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, I was watching some teachers, you know, on TV. They actually said the day he rose on the grave, guess what? All the Old Testament people that were in the grave, like Moses, David, and other ones, guess what? They all rose. And they actually had some witnesses of one or two people with Elijah. That's what they've said. So guess what? You know, when now we have Jesus in us, we're going to live forever, aren't we? So, all right, we're going to get ready to take this. I appreciate you reading the Bible because it's just a part of the Word of God. I got to peel it. Okay. Once again, we'll just hold this body up and say, "Thank you, Jesus. You said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we thank you, Jesus, for our daily manna, which is the bread of life, and we will all live forever. Amen. You can take it. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Oops, I got to peel. Also, he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood," in the New Testament. "And so as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And so we thank you, Lord, that we're covered and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have eternal life and full forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord, that we are all bought out of the bondage of sin forever. Amen. You may take it. Thank you. Ooh, hallelujah. I feel brand new again. Yeah. All right. Thank you for everybody reading. Okay.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned.
died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amen.
Thank you, Father. We're so blessed to be in your presence this morning. Protect us from those who wish to destroy us. We know with you leading the way, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that protection. We thank you for healing over our nation. Continue to soften those hardened hearts, to shine your light through that sometimes immense darkness. When we need you most, Lord, we know you'll be there if we call upon you, believe in your word, believe that you are the one true God. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you and we worship you this morning. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we, church? Amen. Thank you, Father.